Chapter 191. The Laboratory of Uriah. Levi was the first to descend, securing the rope. It didn't take much effort for Callista to follow suit. After approximately 10 minutes, they reached the bottom. Levi ignited a glow stick, illuminating the entire space, including the corpse at his feet. The deceased was bald. Upon inspection, Callista discovered that the unfortunate man hadn't fallen victim to the virus, rather, he had met his end by striking his head against a rock. His face was unrecognizable after a series of tumbles. Yet, even in death, he had not relinquished his grip on a pitiful little wild rabbit, holding onto it even as he drew his last breath. Callista hadn't been emotionally stirred for a long time. Suddenly, she found herself somewhat distressed. In her previous life, the Stafford family had been reduced to ruins. Benedict had been ruthlessly discarded after being used to the fullest. In the end, he was left with nothing but mountains of debt. As his life was nearing its end, he used his last bit of connections to sell his kidney for $150,000. He entrusted the money to her, which allowed her to escape from Horrington. Though he had made many mistakes and misplaced his trust in numerous people, by the end, Callista found that she no longer harbored any resentment toward him. In this lifetime, she had certainly not caused him any harm. Leave one person to take him up there. The rest come with me. Callista moved forward. Her expression remained hidden beneath her mask, but her eyes sparkled with a vibrant light. Rather than harboring resentment for the past, she preferred to dedicate her time to exacting revenge on her enemies. She had been waiting for this moment for a long time. Callum had the power to imprison Sterling, ruin his reputation, and even drive him to bankruptcy. But what she wanted was his death, a miserable death and a death filled with despair. In her previous life, he had infected her with the K virus. In this life, she had meticulously crafted the perfect demise for Sterling. She was willing to delegate almost anything to others, but when it came to the thrilling task of revenge, she absolutely refused to share the pleasure with anyone. "Miss Callista, please be careful. How about you walk behind me?" Derek gave her a gentle tug. Callista smiled. "It's okay. You're stronger. You can cover our rear while Levi takes the lead up front." Sure, everyone who heard Callista's words was somewhat frightened. This place was truly terrifying. Callista speculated that it was for this reason that Uriah did not move his wealth away. This place was already quite secluded, and the K-virus acted like a barrier. Anyone who came here carelessly would fall prey to it, making it a safe place to store resources. "Send gifts." After passing through the stone cave, the group arrived at a winding tunnel. A man of modest height, Elijah, stated, "This place appears to be a natural cave that has been modified." He studied it meticulously, using equipment to conduct a test. "It was built a decade ago." Callista nodded. "The timing adds up too. This could be the treasure left behind by Uriah." Behind Uriah was a vast cult, a product of generations of indoctrination. He commanded a large group of nation, which led to the upheaval in Lost Arla. Therefore, the fortune he left behind was likely no small sum. Furthermore, he was an incredibly proud and cunning man. there was no way he would ever share his possessions with anyone else. If he had, Sterling wouldn't have had a chance in his previous life, and neither would Callista in this one. An unpleasant odor wafted through the air. Although everyone was wearing gas masks, preventing them from detecting the smell, Callista's senses were exceptionally keen. She quickly instructed everyone to step back and tossed a glow stick ahead. There, scattered on the ground, were several boxes, one of which was already open. Broken test tubes had fallen out from within. They were the source of the foul smell. Up ahead should be a laboratory. I never imagined that Uriah would have conducted his experiments here. I just don't understand why it was abandoned. Upon hearing the word laboratory, everyone thought about the K-virus. They swiftly pulled out protective headgear from their backpacks, adding another layer of defense. Now, each person was wrapped up so tightly that not a single draft could get through. Only then did they proceed onward. Sure enough, after walking for about 5 to 6 minutes, they came across a laboratory that had been converted from a stone chamber. It was filled with various equipment, different types of medicinal solutions, test tubes, electrical appliances, as well as a plethora of documents and books. More importantly, there were quite a few completely decayed bodies on the ground, covered in blue moss. Even the walls were covered in this peculiar moss, which shimmered under the glow of the fluorescent light. The scene before them was akin to something straight out of a horror movie. However, when Levi glanced at Callista, he saw not a trace of fear in her eyes. What is this? Someone had the urge to touch those patches of moss. Don't touch it. That's a crystallization of the K-virus, not actual moss. As soon as Callista spoke, everyone tensed up, keeping a wide berth from those blue objects. The concentration of the K-virus here had grown so intense that it could practically crystallize. Had they not been well trained, most people would have been scared off a long time ago. Although they were tightly wrapped up, they still held their breath subconsciously, fearing that breathing too much might expose them to illness. Callista felt somewhat relieved. Thankfully, before they entered, they had fully prepared themselves, opting for the latest generation of precision protective suits from Danontend. They were lightweight yet secure. Otherwise, a regular protective suit might not have been able to withstand the harsh conditions of the deadly terrain. It seems this place was abandoned, likely due to the explosion of the K-virus incubator. The inhalation of an excessive amount of the virus could cause a fatal fever within 10 minutes. In such a heavily infected environment, I fear that even breathing and contact could lead to transmission. Chapter 192. Why people must die. Keep moving forward and be careful. Yes, Ms. Callista. The more they interacted with Callista, the more they found themselves believing in her. She was always composed, and her face rarely showed any emotion other than a cold smirk, a light laugh, or indifference. Though this made her seem somewhat unapproachable, it also made it easy for people to trust her. After passing through several stone chambers, the person leading the way up ahead came to a stop. Elijah glanced at the instrument in his hand and reported, "Something's not right with the soil here. The detector found something beneath. It must be something like explosives," Callista speculated. Levi said, "These are just trifles. Wait here for a moment." After he finished speaking, he led his team to handle these minor nuisances. Once the bomb was defused, they smoothly made their way to a door. The door, seemingly constructed from an unidentified metal, appeared incredibly sturdy. It was equipped with a password lock. Elijah informed her that this particular lock allowed only 3 incorrect attempts before the contents within would be destroyed. "Ms. Callista, this isn't necessarily difficult. It's just that we're short on the right equipment. How about we come back tomorrow?" Elijah suggested, holding the instrument in his hand. Callista glanced at the 4-digit code. "Why don't we give it a try?"
"Try what?"
With a smile, Callista said, "When Uriah was plotting to blow up the refugee camp before, he also used a 4-digit password, 4379. Why not give it a shot? We have 3 chances anyway." Everyone fell silent for a moment, but they knew they had to do as told. "Step back a bit," Elijah instructed. Then, with great care, he punched in a 4-digit code. Everyone held their breath in anticipation. The only sound that broke the silence was a crisp ding followed by the mechanical hum of the door. It had opened. Everyone was stirred with excitement. Derek and Elijah were the first to enter. No one knew what switch they had flipped, but suddenly, the entire cave was illuminated by tube lights. As Callista stepped inside, she was met with a sight of resources piled up like a mountain. There were weapons, gold bricks, drugs, and even boxes upon boxes of foreign currency. In her previous life, she had never seen so much money. But now, all of this was hers. It was only when she reached this point that she finally revealed a genuine smile. Her eyes radiated a sense of dominance. Beside the corpse, Callista couldn't help but feel a wave of sorrow. The pain of parting with a loved one was something one could never grow accustomed to stop crying. Callista said in a dry tone. Rupert's small face was a mess from crying. He simply couldn't stop the tears. "My dad's gone. What do I do? What am I going to do without my dad?" Callista pulled him up, meeting his gaze. "Though it's harsh, you must pull yourself together. Your mother is waiting for you down the mountain. Even though you're only 13, with your father gone, you're the one who has to hold up this family now." "Look, Auntie," Rupert's eyes were filled with despair. "Dad's gone. Mom will be too. I'll be next. I just can't snap out of it." Callista had no experience in coaxing people, but it was clear that her words were of no LISC. Rupert continued to sob, overwhelmed by the loss of his father and the uncertainty of the future. Coupled with the precarious state of his mother's health, his tears flowed so profusely that he was almost gasping for breath. "What should I do? What am I supposed to do? I can't handle this. I can't be without my dad. Why did my dad have to die?" Rupert asked in a raspy voice. Although the person who had brought up the corpse had already explained it to him, he still wanted to know why people must die. His cries gradually wore down Callista's patience. She abruptly removed the mask from her face and told him off.
"Why?
Let me tell you. It's because they were weak." Rupert was taken aback. Callista gazed at him, yet it seemed as though her focus was somewhere beyond him. Her eyes emitted a cold light. His weakness was the reason he couldn't protect his wife and child. It was his weakness that led to his expulsion, his poverty, his necessity to risk his life hunting, and ultimately, his death. It took a moment for Rupert to comprehend her words. He stopped crying and glared at her. "You're so cold-hearted. You're nothing but a devil." Rupert turned to flee, completely taken aback by Callista's true colors. He simply couldn't accept the way she had spoken in front of his father's remains. Dad is already dead, yet she kept speaking ill of him, belittling him. Such a person has no compassion at all. She is nothing short of a devil. He had barely taken a step when Callista grabbed him. She looked down, studying Rupert's face, which was a mix of fear and stubbornness. His gaze was somewhat fierce. "Where do you think you're going? Do you really believe that running away will change anything?" Rupert struggled fiercely. "Iet me gol, you're terrifying. You will never understand how upset fam. Let go, you devil," Callista scoffed. "Look at yourself now, what a sight you are. Your father may have been weak, but there's no denying he was a good man. He died clutching a rabbit, trying to fulfill his promise to bring you meat. And what are you doing? You're crying, you're in despair. Your body is already weak, and if your will is just as frail, then you'll end up like your father, putting all your effort into providing for the family, yet in reality, achieving nothing." Chapter 193. "I can get Sterling killed here." Rupert was left disoriented by Callista's words. His eyes were still filled with tears, but he no longer struggled. Instead, he felt a sense of bewilderment. Callista released him. "Do you really want to end up like your father?" He had the desire to protect his family but couldn't. He wished to provide a good life for you but was powerless to do so. "Do you want to be a weakling, ultimately dying a pathetic death?" Her voice remained icy cold, yet within its frigid tone, an undertone of reproving urged, a subtle questioning, perhaps. Throughout his life, Rupert had never encountered anyone who spoke to him with such severity, nor had anyone ever so brutally exposed the harsh reality and laid it bare before him. Although he was only 13, his father's death forced him to grow up prematurely. He was no longer just a child. Someone who loves his family, yet incapable of doing anything right. A helpless weakling, Rupert muttered. He couldn't deny that Callista's words were true. In this region, most impoverished families were like his. Many heads of households couldn't even take care of their own needs, let alone their families. As a result, the women ended up doing most of the work. Some people, like his father, genuinely wanted to take care of their families. However, due to various reasons such as limited abilities and wisdom, they could only strive their utmost to keep their family barely alive. It wasn't because his father wasn't good enough. It was simply because they were too weak. "I'm sorry," Rupert suddenly closed his eyes, kneeling before the lifeless body. "I refuse to be weak any longer. I won't let anyone drive me out of my home or rob me of my food. Dad, I want to be strong. I want to protect Mom." There was no point in bringing the body back, so Callista decided to bury it in the forest. When they returned, Rupert was noticeably quieter. It was as if he had grown up in a single day, a kind of growth that many would rather avoid. Levi heaved a sigh, once again sensing the formidable presence of Callista. Love is never cheap, yet it often falls short of expectations. It's akin to how all parents wish to give their children the best, but they might lack the means to do so. Can we blame them for this? No. But does it mean they are free from responsibility? Certainly not. In the end, those who find themselves in adversity must first possess a strong heart in order to grow into strong individuals. By the time they returned, Jared had already arrived. Upon seeing Callista return, he rose from his seat, glint flashing behind his glasses. His immaculate suit and attention to detail were clear indicators of his success as a businessman. His narrow eyes carried a hint of charm that made him particularly appealing to women. "Getting a chance to see you is truly no easy feat," Jared scoffed, his tone brimming with dissatisfaction. He was someone others would line up to meet, yet here he was, having sat idle for 3 whole hours. "Did you fly here directly?" Callista took the damp towel handed to her and wiped her face before striding toward him. After some time apart, Jared noticed that Callista seemed to have changed even more. When they first met, Polyers used nothing more than prasen meal cleaning in a Rondnum motel approached him, asking for 200,000. Her boldness was evident, yet she still had an air of innocence about her. However, in just a year's time, she had transformed into a formidable figure, capable of matching any man. If anyone thought they could take advantage of her, they'd better be prepared for the possibility of a crushing defeat. Coming back to his senses, Jared chuckled lightly. "Miss Callista, I dare not waste time since you've extended an invitation. So tell me, what brings you to seek me out?" Callista pointed toward a large tree nearby. It was evening and free food was being distributed here, hence the area under the tree was cleared. They continued their conversation as they walked. "In the underground arms market in southeast Duluth, how many percent of market share does the Sinclair family hold?" Jared gave her a sidelong glance. "It's such a vast market, and you're asking how many percent right off the bat. That's rather greedy. Besides, the Sinclair family doesn't focus on this area. We only hold a small half-percent stake. The Wolford family is doing slightly better, holding just over 1%. Are you interested in this area?" Jared lit up a cigarette. "To say I'm not interested would be a lie. Even though my family wants to clean up its act, we still need to make a living. The benefits involved here are enough for us to compromise some of our principles." "That's good, then," Callista said with a light chuckle. "I can get Sterling killed here. Do you think you can take over his share?" Jared was stunned. When Callista mentioned killing Sterling, her tone didn't waver in the slightest. It was as if she was talking about stepping on an ant. Her mental fortitude was why extraordinary. He was aware that the Fairchild family had been dominating the Wolford family for the past year. However, if Callista was willing to let Callum take action, she wouldn't have waited until now. As far as he knew, Callum already had the evidence that could land Sterling in jail. But he had not made a move yet, and the only possible reason was Callista. Seemingly sensing his confusion, Callista added, "If we were to send him to prison, it's uncertain whether it would be successful on the first try. Even if he was imprisoned, he wouldn't die. The Wolford family would indeed suffer a huge financial loss, even to the point of bankruptcy, but they would still be alive and well. I don't wish for that to happen. Callista revealed a mysterious smile. Based on reliable information, Sterling will come here with only a few people. Even if he knows I'm here, he won't bring many. Chapter 194. Are you for real? That's impossible, Jared retorted. Sterling has numerous enemies. Whenever he goes to unsafe places, he never brings less than 50 people with him. And that's a conservative estimate. Those people are internationally renowned mercenaries. Not ordinary people can handle them. Callista chuckled. This time it's different. At the very least, there's one place where he'll have minimal guards. It's there that we can take his life. Seeing Callista seemingly at ease and joking around, Jared responded with a mix of sincerity and jest, "Fine, as long as you have a way to take him down, I have a way to absorb his power. No matter how you look at it, I'm the one who benefits. But with such a good opportunity, why didn't you approach Callum?" Callista looked at him with a half smile. "What do you think my relationship with Callum is?" Jared took a drag from his cigarette. "More than family, less than lovers. Who knows what kind of game you're playing?" Callista shook her head. "Even though I'm entangled with the Fairchild family, and Callum is always at my beck and call, I can't deny that he's special. But I'm always scared. When a person loses everything and then gets it back, they catch a disease called unease. No matter how good the current situation is, I still want to plan an escape route for myself." Jared was somewhat bewildered as he listened, but he understood the last sentence. "So, you're helping me just to make me your backup plan." He found it amusing. There was no way Callum would ever let go of Callista. Moreover, Callum had an intense personality. If he loved someone, he would elevate them to the highest pedestal. No one else could possibly interfere. This worry of hers was arguably for nothing. Callista nodded solemnly. "If something happens, it's best if you give me a way out. If not, I'm not afraid of giving you an advantage. The Fairchild family is already flourishing. For Callum, Sterling is just icing on the cake. For you, although it's not exactly a lifesaver in desperate times, it's definitely a timely assistance, the most suitable indeed." Jared narrowed his eyes. Even with glasses on, they couldn't conceal his roguish charm. "Since you've put it that way, I'd be rude to refuse. But can I ask you a question?" "Sure." Jared exhaled a puff of smoke, his expression unreadable behind his glasses. "You said Callum is different. In what way is he different? If one were to disregard wealth, just based on appearance and age, he believed he was no less than Callum. Why then, was Callum considered different? Even if he had lost, he deserved an explanation." Callista was momentarily taken aback. He said nonchalantly, "Perhaps it's because, he was the first person I fell in love with. He was also the last person she loved. In truth, it should be over 20 years. Loving someone can become a habit, and loving him used up all the courage I had. So, apart from him, I simply can't, nor do I have the emotional strength to accept anyone else. Callista noticed the smile on Jarrett's face gradually fade, which ironically made her smile instead. Weren't you a non-smoker before? Why the sudden change?
Me?
Jarrett glanced at the cigarette in his hand. Probably all for a troublesome individual, I guess. Callista didn't overthink it. She was solely focused on whether her plan would go smoothly or not. Perhaps that was what it meant to be audacious. As long as it was what she wanted to do, she wouldn't consider the difficulty and would tirelessly strive in that direction. She had declared that she would live her life recklessly and had long since discarded fear and trepidation along with her cowardice. Perhaps she was a little mentally unwell. It was said that those with mental illnesses often lacked fear and empathy. She found herself increasingly unable to comprehend others' pain and was less and less concerned with consequences or fear. But it did not matter, as she would never harm an innocent person. She shared her rough and straightforward plan with Jarrett, whose eyes widened after he finished listening. It wasn't until the cigarette in his hand burned down to his fingers that he snapped back to reality. Are you for real? Jarrett hadn't expected that Callista would even share such matters with him. The items that Uriah had left behind were no small fortune. Never suspect the person you use, and never use the person you suspect. You've received what you deserved, and I've received mine. Why, are you interested in those things? Despite his usual scheming, Jarrett would never dare to touch her belongings. He immediately shook his head. No. I just didn't expect you to trust me this much. He steadied himself, then said with conviction, as long as what you're saying is true, I'm in. I've brought 30 people with me. It should be more than enough. Callista raised an eyebrow slightly, a mischievous smile playing on her lips. I'm looking forward to seeing Sterling's reaction when he sees me. Meanwhile, a single phone call sent Sterling's spirits plunging to an all-time low. Dad, I've got this under control. It's just money. I'll soon get a large sum of it. On the other end of the phone, Harvey scoffed, a large sum? You think it's just going to fall from the sky? Our last deal with Uriah has already been exposed, and you've offended Callum. I'm amazed at your audacity to anger the head of the Fairchild family with just one trip to Horrington. I'm starting to question whether you're fit to be the heir of the Wolford family. Chapter 195. The Wild Card. Sterling's eyes narrowed. I offended Callum because of Callista. If it weren't for Quincy and Yelena's foolish actions, I wouldn't have upset her, let alone get on Callum's wrong side. The underlying message was that all the trouble was caused by Harvey's woman and good, for, nothing daughter. Harvey paused briefly, and eventually, his irritation became evident. If I don't see the money by this week, you can forget about being the general manager. After speaking, he abruptly ended the call. Sterling was so infuriated that he smashed his phone. He stood up, forcing himself to remain calm. On the plane, as he watched the land below drawing ever closer, he finally felt a sense of relief. Callum. Callista. You both just wait. And that old geezer, refusing to make me his heir, serves him right for not having a son his entire life. Sterling had already made up his mind. As soon as he got the money, he planned to give half of it to that person. he was sure he could dodge a bullet this way. The remaining money would be used to fill the ever-growing void, and the crisis would be completely resolved. As long as he got that sum of money, all problems would cease to exist. At that moment, he received a message. "You're saying Callista is also in Girona? What about Callum?" The assistant, having witnessed Sterling smash his phone, shrank back a little. "Callum isn't here, but Callista is. She came here with a special support medical team because of the K-virus outbreak that happened a while ago. They're probably here for research, aiming to gain some fame. This is the worst possible timing. They must be doing this on purpose. But it can't be. After making several inquiries, I only recently received reliable news confirming that the place Uriah mentioned is indeed in Corleone. There is no way Callista could have known about it before I did. It must be a coincidence." After much thought, Sterling sneered, "Well, it's good that she's here. Considering they ventured into such a dangerous area, it wouldn't be surprising if they contracted the virus and died." "The K-virus? It's quite a fitting way to die." Callista was oblivious to the malice Sterling harbored toward her once again. At that moment, she was busy assisting the experts in administering medicine here, observing the reactions. After consuming the oatmeal laced with medicine, these patients appeared to be much more spirited. However, due to their pain, they spent most of their time groaning. When they were all together, the sound was quite disturbing and agitating. At that moment, the rumbling sound of cars echoed. A group of people were about to enter the city. However, they were all incredibly arrogant, quite unlike the people who had come and gone before. When the group of people passed by, one of them suddenly took notice of Callista and walked toward her. "Wow! There's an incredibly attractive girl from Kamika here." As soon as he said that, the dozen or so people accompanying him quickly gathered around. The patients, startled by the commotion, were left unattended as their relatives had gone out to find food. There was no one available to escort them away. Only a few experts and soldiers were present. "Stop! Don't come any closer!" Five soldiers pointed their guns at them, but they showed no signs of fear. "Don't be so hostile. We just want to chat with the beautiful lady." Despite the guns pointed at them, they continued to approach. Upon realizing that they were no easy targets, the soldiers hastily alerted their commander. The gun in their hands served as their final warning. "If you come any closer, we're going to shoot." The leader of the group, a burly man, also drew his gun. "Shoot us, then. Heh, you're surrounded by a bunch of K-virus devils. Do you think it would be fun if their blood splattered on you?" Callista's eyes narrowed slightly as she took in the scene. These people had dared to provoke them while the soldiers were off tending to the research station. They were all brawny and tough, looking, making it clear that the five soldiers would be no match for them on the surface. There was no way it wasn't premeditated. They were sent over by Sterling. She flashed a sweet smile. "It sounds quite fun, but we have an old saying in Chinaka. I'm not sure if you've heard of it." The burly man, who was leading the group, flashed a grin, revealing his white teeth. "What is it? Let's hear it." "The saying goes, don't pursue a narrow gain while neglecting a greater danger. Jarrett's voice suddenly echoed from behind them. As they turned around, they found themselves at the business end of 30 guns. The aggressor's face changed instantly. He rushed toward Callista, wanting to use her as a hostage. However, Callista had been prepared since the moment Jarrett spoke. As the man attempted to strangle her, she was one step ahead, inserting a needle into his neck. Although it only paralyzed him for a few seconds, it was enough time for a well-trained mercenary to fall into her hands. "I think we can have a proper conversation now. What do you say?" With each word Callista uttered, she tapped his temple with a gun, her smile never wavering from start to finish. The assassins sent by Sterling never anticipated that their boss would be instantly taken down by a woman who, at first glance, seemed incapable of even hurting a fly. The man that Callista held at gunpoint couldn't help but bend his knees. He was taller than Callista, but at that moment, she had him in a chokehold, which was truly humiliating for him. Making sure that both Callista's people and the army were not around. However, they were unaware of the wild card that was Jarrett. He had been parachuted in directly under special orders. The plane was able to land but couldn't depart. It was still parked on the mountain. Chapter 196. A trap. What do I want? It's simple. I just want to ask you a few questions. Callista laughed in his car. What's the purpose of Sterling sending you here? To kill me. The situation was pressing. Callahan took a moment to think before deciding to tell the harsh truth. He wishes for you to contract the K-virus and die here. He had thought that this would be a simple task. A fierce glint flashed in Callista's eyes. What a fitting end. On this, we truly see eye to eye. Eye to eye? Is this Ruman trying to make Sterling sick too? Upon thinking of Jarrett's sudden appearance, Callahan realized that Sterling was likely to fail this time. Because Callista was clearly prepared and deliberately waiting for him, all you're after is money, isn't it? How much did Sterling pay you for? Callahan swallowed nervously. $100 million, my life. Callista raised her eyebrows slightly. It seems I'm quite valuable. She chuckled. I've made a fortune recently. How about I give you $100 million for a little white lie? The rest of the mercenaries exchanged glances, unable to believe what they had just heard. They had thought that spending $100 million to harm a woman was already an exorbitant price. Yet, she was even more outrageous, offering them $100 million to lie. Callista released Callahan, yet Jarrett's gun remained pointed at him. Callahan's muscles were tense throughout his body, but due to the allure of Callista's proposition, he didn't make any rash moves. Are you being serious? People like them, who lived on the edge, could do anything for money. As for the issue of credibility, if this woman in front of them succeeded, Sterling would meet his end right here. So, what credibility crisis could there possibly be? Even if Sterling were to win, they would still gain $200 million. They could simply move to another country and start their lives anew. I don't usually lie, Callista said with a light laugh. What I need you to do is quite simple, just accompany me up the mountain, then tell Sterling that you followed me to a cave on the mountain. You were discovered and had no choice but to shoot me. As for what he asks you to do next, just go along with it. Callahan thought it sounded easy. From her words, it appeared as though she wanted him to lure Sterling into a trap she had meticulously prepared. After weighing the pros and cons in his mind, he exchanged a glance with his companion, then extended his hand toward Callista. "All right, we're taking this deal. We'll definitely work well together," Callista said, revealing a mysterious smile. The very next morning, Sterling received a phone call that filled him with both joy and shock. "She left with just two people and you followed her to a cave? What kind of cave is it?" Callahan found it odd that Sterling was so focused on the cave. He had thought that Callista had mentioned the cave merely to lure Sterling into a trap, but it seemed there was more to the situation than met the eye. "Back's under Callista's intense gaze," he said, "it's a man-made cave. It's quite large. Do you need me to go in and check it out?" "No." A murderous intent flashed in Sterling's eyes. "Where is Callista?" Callahan glanced at Callista and said nonchalantly, "Her people discovered me, so I took her out, along with the two others by her side. I have no idea where the rest went. The army, however, is waiting in Jerome." He paused for a moment before speaking again. "It seems there's a signal jammer in this place. Other than the satellite phone, I can't use anything else to contact you. Otherwise, I could have taken a picture for you. Even though it's not the cause of death you wanted, you can't deduct my commission because of this." "All right, hold on. I'll be right there to check things out. I'm in Corleone, and I'm not far from you." Sterling hastily instructed his assistant to set up the satellite phone coordinates. He then said to Callahan, nervously, "Stay put, don't move. Send someone outside to meet me. As long as I can confirm the deceased is Callista, I'll immediately transfer the remaining payment to you." "No way, once my people pick you up, you'll have to pay the remaining balance." "We agreed on this, didn't S just a woman? Do you really think I'd scam you, we?" Sterling agreed readily, "All right, make sure none of you make any rash moves. Callista has 10 people by her side. If anyone else returns, don't hesitate to eliminate them. I'll take care of any additional costs." "Consider it settled, then," Callahan said, then ended the call. He wasn't sure if it was just his imagination, but he felt that Sterling was in a hurry. The Sterling he remembered was always cautious. This was the first time he was so eager to come and inspect the results. Meanwhile, Sterling revealed a sinister smirk. "The remaining balance. Get it from hell." He furrowed his brows, taken aback that Callista had indeed gone after the treasure. "It looks like she found it ahead of time. Her subordinates must be preparing to transport the supplies. Thankfully, she is now out of the picture." At that moment, Sterling did not consider whether this was a trap. After all, Callista had only taken 10 people to Corleone, and Callum did not go with them. He reckoned she certainly wouldn't collaborate with the local government if she wanted to monopolize the treasure. Given the few people she had, they were no match for those he had sent out. There was no way she could possibly set him up. Chapter 197. Where are my men? The situation was critical now because once the treasure was discovered, there was a risk of exposure. Not a single mercenary could be kept alive. Moreover, if Callista had died, the people she had sent out would have already spread the news. If someone got there before him, then the treasure could very well end up in someone else's hands. He hastily instructed the pilot to turn the plane around. At the same time, he contacted the government of Corleone, applying for a passage permit. The thought of the mercenaries already at the entrance of the treasure made him wish he could be there the very next second. After hanging up the phone, Callahan asked Callista curiously, "Is there anything special about this cave?" Callista chuckled. "Of course. Levi, show him around." Levi quickly donned the hood of his protective suit. It was then that the group of mercenaries realized that beneath their regular clothes, they were all actually wearing full, body protective suits. In order to uncover the truth, Callahan also put on a protective suit and joined Levi, leaving only two groups outside in a standoff. Jared observed everything closely and said softly to Callista in Chinakan, "You really don't let any potential ally slip away, do you?" Callista glanced at the group of mercenaries and flashed a grin. "I'm quite poor, so my money isn't that easy to get." These mercenaries wanted money, so they had to first duke it out with Sterling. After Callahan had taken a look, he quickly stepped out. As soon as he emerged, the people around Callista immediately went over to him and thoroughly sanitized him from head to toe. It took Callahan a while before he dared to remove his mask. His face was filled with lingering fear. Seeing the bodies scattered on the ground and the terrifying crystallization of the K-virus, Callahan was fully convinced that Callista truly intended to let Sterling experience the taste of the K-virus. "Did you see it?" Callista's smile, though beautiful under the dim light, sent a chill down Callahan's spine. "I did," Callahan said, swiftly discarding his protective gear. "Regardless, for the sake of our partnership, I don't like the idea of Sterling being alive." "Don't worry. This is exactly what I want too." Callahan saw Callista smiling very naturally. Feeling uneasy, he went to tell to his buddies that they must be careful later to keep their distance from that cave. They had assumed there must be something valuable involved, given Sterling's interest. Yet, they never expected it to turn out to be the K-virus. The preferences of the wealthy were indeed peculiar. When Sterling arrived, guided by someone, he easily reached the entrance. He was anxious, but he made sure not to show it. Seeing the mercenaries at the door, he asked, "No one has passed through here in the last hour, right?" Sterling laughed. "I'll give it to you right now." After he finished speaking, his assistants from behind brought over two large boxes. The moment the two mercenaries opened them and saw stacks of money, smiles spread across their faces. They hadn't done much on this trip, yet they managed to earn a hefty sum of money. It was certainly worth it. As they were holding the box, two silent figures approached. Sensing danger, they barely had time to lift their heads before each was taken down by a single gunshot. With the silencer, the sound wasn't loud. After two people were killed, a dozen more emerged from the woods. Now, Sterling was followed by over 20 bodyguards, each armed with a gun, silently infiltrating the area. "They're here," Callista announced, her exceptional hearing alerting her before anyone else. She turned to Callahan. I've already told you everything you need to know. Once you've finished your negotiations, you can leave. Everything that happens after is not your concern anymore. Callahan found it odd. They're here? But my people haven't sent any news. But as soon as he looked up, Callista and the others had already led people inside. Callahan recalled what his subordinate had mentioned earlier, that Sterling had only brought along 5 or 6 men. They were hardly a threat. Yet, they had learned from past experiences, so they held onto their guns tightly. Sure enough, it wasn't long before they spotted Sterling and his companions. Wait. Where are my men? Callahan suddenly became alert. The men he had sent out were surprisingly not with Sterling when he entered. Sterling, clad in a sleek black suit, exuded an ominous aura. He sneered, "Why would I hand over the money so easily when I haven't seen Callista's body yet? I've already detained your men. Once I see the body, I'll return your men to you." Or Callahan felt suspicious when suddenly, someone beside him leaned in and said, "The heat signatures of Trey and Jim have stopped moving, and according to the readings on the device, their heat signatures fading." In other words, those two individuals had already passed away. "You killed my men? Why?" The moment Callahan uttered these words, the men behind him raised their guns. Suddenly, they realized that Sterling was trying to betray them. Sterling hadn't expected this group to be carrying such things. "It looks like there's no way to keep it hidden any longer. They should all die." Chapter 198. Is Callista still alive? Why? Because all of you here must die. Callahan saw that Sterling was indeed intent on committing murder and silencing any potential witnesses. He didn't even spare a glance at Callista's lifeless body. Although he didn't know the reason, he was extremely furious. Without hesitation, he fired his gun at Sterling. "You want to kill me? After you." As the first gunshot echoed, a multitude of men in black emerged suddenly from behind Sterling. Their caliber was evidently superior to that of the mercenaries, clearly revealing them to be the trump card in Sterling's hand. The moment those individuals made their appearance, Callahan and his companions realized they might very well meet their end here today, causing their counterattacks to escalate into a wild frenzy. Upon hearing the commotion, Jared rubbed his hands together in anticipation. According to the sensor readings, Sterling actually only brought 23 people with him. "The current situation is in our favor. Shall we make our move?" Callista shook her head. "No, there's no rush. Let's move forward. Although we could counterattack now and win, the casualties would be substantial. The spot up ahead is a better location for an ambush." "Are you so sure that those mercenaries will cooperate?" "They'll definitely cooperate. Callahan is no match for them. They'll surely retreat toward us because they know we're here. But whether they can pull it off is their problem." After a moment of contemplation, Jared said, "Aren't you concerned that Callahan won't be able to resist and end up revealing us? If that happens, we won't be able to catch them off guard anymore." Callista analyzed, "Sterling will definitely not give Callahan a chance to speak in order to swiftly conclude matters. Having suffered an inexplicable fatal beating at the hands of their employer and lost 2 comrades, they will risk everything to give Sterling a taste of their strength. All he needs to do is lure Sterling's men here, and we can take advantage of the complex cave system to ambush them. Now, let's begin the ambush. At Callista's command, they all began to hide within the cave. Jared secretly admired Callista. She had anticipated the current situation that Sterling and the mercenaries would eventually clash. The group of mercenaries would have no choice but to fight for their lives. They would be forced to cooperate, luring Sterling deep into the cave and helping to deplete his firepower. In the end, when Sterling died, the mercenaries would have to be grateful to Callista for avenging the comrades. If the mercenaries also died, that would be ideal. They could save on the hiring fee. It was a situation where every person was used to their fullest potential. Jared nodded, then witnessed a group of people barging in. Sterling's party had dwindled to just 16 individuals, and the number of mercenaries had fallen to a mere 7 or 8. Seeing that they had arrived at a tunnel filled with numerous caves, Callahan knew his chance had come. Sterling, UB*starred. You've fallen into a trap. Sterling, who was shielded till the very end, was shocked. He turned around. No way. No word has come from my men guarding outside. No one has broken in. Unless, these mercenaries have teamed up with Callista. Is Callista still alive? There was a quiver in his voice. Upon hearing this, Callahan responded with a triumphant laugh that echoed throughout the cave. His expression was fierce. You'll see her soon. Sterling forced himself to calm down. Since Callista was determined to monopolize the treasure, she certainly wouldn't let others know about this batch of resources. She only had 10 people with her, so he might stand a chance against her. What he didn't expect was that she managed to win over the group of mercenaries in just one night. Indeed, these wealthy individuals who could pull strings were not to be trusted. He blamed himself for being too hasty this time, taking risks without setting up any defenses. At that moment, all of Callista's subordinates sprang into action. However, Callista herself remained in the shadows. The sheer number of people that appeared took Sterling by surprise. He found himself completely surrounded. How is this possible? I have made sure earlier, Callista only has 10 people under her command. Did she risk exposing the treasure and seek help from others? Isn't she afraid of being double crossed? Isn't she afraid that the local government would find out and she wouldn't get anything? Three factions were engaged in a fierce battle, the entire cave echoing with the relentless sound of gunfire. It was enough to make one's skin crawl. The scent of blood grew thicker. Because Callista's men focused on preventing Sterling from escaping, the majority of the firepower was concentrated behind him. Sterling found himself surrounded. For the first time, he felt the cold grip of death so close to him. Before today, he could never have imagined that a woman could push him to such a point. Callista. What's the point of hiding? Come out where I can see you. Sterling's voice was met with silence. Since he couldn't break free, he had no choice but to proceed. Further, we're going in. Left with no choice, the people slash under Sterling had to obey orders and charge in during the critical moment. Seeing Sterling rushing off to meet his doom, Callahan didn't stop him. Chapter 199. It was Jared. Without a moment to catch his breath, Callahan hurried back with the remaining four of his comrades, hoping to find survivors among the rest. Quickly, he let out a small sigh of relief. They were all wearing bulletproof vests, so unless they were shot in the head, their injuries were relatively minor. Indeed, he managed to find his comrades who were still alive. Even then, out of the 14 people under Callahan's command, only 7 remained. The mortality rate of 50% was clear evidence of the brutality of his line of work. Having seen the hardships they had just gone through, Jared generously sent over their payment. Callahan's men, supporting each other, left the area, leaving only Callahan behind. He was covered in blood, wearily looking at Jared and his, who were virtually unscathed. "Even though I felt somewhat used, I still need to express my gratitude to you. Please, you must eliminate that B*starred, Sterling. He's responsible for the deaths of my 7 comrades." With a serious expression, Jared assured, "Don't worry. This is the last you've seen of him." Callahan cast a deep gaze into the depths of the cave, then asked, "Can I know what's really in there?" "If it's just the cave virus, then Sterling's reaction doesn't make sense. If curiosity is what drives you, remember that it killed the cat. If you're thinking of trading this information for money, well, the outcome will only be tragic." Callista walked out with a smile, clad in black and her hair tied in a ponytail. She appeared formidable. Yet fragile, her delicate features making her look like a stunning statue. Yet, her gaze was akin to that of the Grim Reaper, carrying a subtle yet undeniable hint of murderous intent. "I understand now." Callahan's lips had turned a bit pale as he quickly walked out. From that day forward, he would never underestimate any girl who looked frail. Bloodstains marred Callista's face, though it was unclear when they had splattered there. Against her skin, as white and smooth as snow, they made for a gruesome sight. Originally, Jared wanted to reach out and wipe it off, but the aura surrounding Callista was incredibly hostile. Particularly in this dimly lit space, she resembled a glowing, bloodthirsty angel. Even her smile had a murderous edge. "What's wrong?" Callista noticed his gaze and reached up to wipe her face. Accidentally, her fingers smeared the blood on her cheek, creating a startling contrast. The vivid hue of blood made her face stunningly beautiful in that moment. Jared found his breath growing somewhat ragged. He reached for his cigarette case, only to realize he had left it behind. Callista glanced at her hand and flashed a smile. "Oh, it seems I've gotten some blood on me." Her luscious red lips and pristine white teeth slowly unveiled, almost causing Jared to flee in panic. "I'm going to check if Sterling is dead yet." Callista watched his retreating figure, tilting her head slightly. She didn't follow him. Instead, she sent a message to Derek. "We can now gather all of the Fairchild family's forces in Corleone. The item I want must be obtained without any given the significant mobilization of forces. All members of the Fairchild family in Corleone had to seek approval from Callum. Upon receiving the news that Callista required so many people, Callum's first reaction was to worry if she had been injured. So, without a second thought, Callum approved it and gave his instructions. Lock in her position, we're heading there too. Be quick about it." Quintus promptly nodded. "Yes, Mr. Callum." At that moment, he could never have imagined that it wasn't Callista who was hurt but rather Sterling. Sterling's face was ashen, a picture of utter despair. One misstep had led to a lifetime of regret. He never anticipated that a single moment of negligence would land him in a predicament with no way out. "Boss, what do we do? Waylon is done for." Before the man could finish his words, Waylon staggered a few steps before dying on the spot. The surroundings were eerily quiet, the only sound being the fearful breaths that felt suffocating. Their escape route was blocked, and ahead lay a laboratory teeming with viruses. The first person who ventured in rushed out in less than a minute, only to start running a fever shortly after. Within minutes, they were dead. At this point, only Sterling and his four loyal subordinates were left alive. The unseen virus had traumatized them. Coupled with the fact that there were people guarding outside, they were subjected to both physical and mental torment. Each one of them was on edge, about to mentally break down at the slightest trigger. This time, Sterling brought along those he trusted the most. If they were to die, then his own demise wouldn't be far off. At that moment, an insidious voice echoed. "How pitiful. Do you wish to live? Beg me, and I might consider showing you mercy." At last, Sterling recognized who it was. Gripped by hysteria, he cried out, "Jared, it's you." Or rather, it was just as expected. Obviously, only Jared would be bold enough to assist Callista. Not only were they close friends, but Jared would stand to gain the most with Sterling's death. Jared no longer appeared as flustered as he had been in front of Callista. Donning his glasses and dressed impeccably, he stood there in a relaxed manner. If he had a glass of wine in hand, he looked as if he could easily blend into any social gathering. Sterling forced himself to stay calm. Gritting his teeth, he said, "Jared, are you really going to help Callista kill me? Do you know what's behind this cave? It's the treasure left behind by Uriah, worth over 10 billion. Uriah was from Country L, but the treasure is in Corleone. To keep this a secret, who's to say she won't turn on you next after you kill me?" Chapter 200. No Way Out. After considering Callista's character, Jared thought that if the reasons were compelling enough, she might actually go through with it. Unfortunately, he knew all too well that Callista's main objectives was to take Sterling's life on top of the money. "That's our business. You don't need to concern yourself with it, Mr. Wolford," Jared said with a devious smile. "Perhaps, Mr. Wolford, you should focus on your current predicament. After all, your life is in my hands," Sterling's thoughts raced. Suppressing all his resentment and bitterness, he managed to maintain his composure and said, "What has Callista promised you? Take over all my assets? But what is mine won't automatically become yours even if I die. Keeping me around and controlling me would be more beneficial for you." Jared remained silent, seemingly deep in thought. "Cashieria, ensure you're adequately." Sterling's face was anxious as he continued, "If you're willing to let me go, I won't take anything from this. Moreover, I can help you get whatever's." He licked his lips, a fierce determination flashing in his eyes inside that cave. "Rather than letting Callista or the Fairchild family reap the benefits, I'd prefer you to have it. Think about it, isn't this more profitable than killing me? Your suggestion is truly enticing." J. Jared shook his head with a snigger. If he was collaborating with anyone else but Callista, Callum for example, he might have agreed. Regrettably, I can't agree to your proposal. Sterling's expression darkened. With a sigh in his heart, Jared spoke in a low voice. Hasn't anyone told you about my relationship with Callista? With some difficulty, Sterling said, she saved your younger brother. It's more than that. My brother has already recovered, and burning bridges is a common occurrence for me, so this little favor doesn't really count for much. Then why on earth? The vein on Sterling's forehead throbbed as he was unable to comprehend how Jared could possibly resist such a huge temptation. Because dash I like her. Are you not done yet? Callista's voice interrupted Jared's words, and the moment she appeared, Sterling's eyes turned red. Callista. Upon hearing this, Callista turned toward him, smiling as she spoke. Oh my, it's been a while, hasn't it, Mr. Wilford? If I recall correctly. We've only met a few times in Horrington, right? It's been a year. I hope life's just as Sterling was about to make a move, the man behind Jared raised his gun, aiming it at him. Although Sterling wasn't hurt, his four remaining subordinates were all injured, making it impossible for them to fight back. This left him helpless, forced to stand by and idly watch the woman he despised act with impunity right in front of him. What exactly do you want from me? We have no past grudges or conflicts, no conflicts. Are you sure? Callista counted off on her fingers as she spoke to him. The first time we met you almost strangled me. Plus, you helped the people I despise get away with their actions. Do you know that if it weren't for you, they would have been killed a long time ago? Later on, you had Uriah kidnap me. One nearly died back then. Even now, thinking about it scares me a bit. Sterling simply couldn't see any sign of fear in this woman. At that moment, he had no room to show any grace. His gaze was filled with a raw desire to tear her apart. Didn't you also cause me to waste billions on a worthless piece of land? You got caught, but you're not dead. Moreover, you've gotten Callum to attack me at every turn. Do you have any idea how much I've lost over the past year? What an intriguing argument. So, if one doesn't die, it's as if nothing happened. Callista chuckled lightly. I understand, I know you're eagerly waiting to use this money to fill the hole. Who knows, this could even be your life saving fund. She wore a somewhat smug smile as she said, but what does this have to do with me? You hired someone to kill me, so it's only fair that I take your life in return, isn't it? It's just business. Don't tell me that only you are allowed to profit without any risk. But I'm losing more than just money. It's my life at stake here. Suddenly, the traumatized Sterling took a step back. He subtly signaled to his men beside him. If they could capture Callista, they still had a chance. I would advise you all not to act recklessly. Callista addressed the people around him, "Do you really think Sterling is worth risking your lives for? If you drop your weapons and come over here, I'll spare you. I'm only giving you one chance." Only then did Sterling truly panic. He stared at the people around him, his body slightly trembling. Don't forget who brought you to where you are. And your families, If I die, your families are done for too. He's destined to die regardless of whether you surrender or resist. But if you choose the former, I might be in the mood to spare your families. However, if you opt for the latter, then prepare for your entire families to join Sterling in the afterlife. The words of Callista caused the newfound determination of those four individuals to vanish in an instant. Boss, a person by Sterling's side, took a few steps back. I don't want to die yet. After he finished speaking, he tossed the gun aside, completely disregarding the furious look in Sterling's eyes. Once someone took the lead, it was easier to follow. Anyone could understand such a simple concept. Guys, Sterling found himself gasping for breath, cornered with nowhere left to run. He watched helplessly as his situation grew increasingly dire, yet he was helpless to do anything. The feeling was even more brutal than murder itself.